I praise the Lord for the opportunity that we may share God's word with all of us today. Before I start, I would like to we all stand and read out today's passage. Let's all rise and I'll read it out in respect of God's word. Today I will preach on Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 to 15. You, my brothers, were called to be freedom, to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we open your word, we pray that you will teach us your word and also help us to learn how to apply your word to our daily living, so that when before the second coming of Christ, we may live a life that is worthy for the calling. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, when I think about this title, I'm free, what are you thinking of? I was thinking about when I was young. Usually in Hong Kong, freedom meaning or liberty meant that no more school, right? I mean, for the kids now with Chinese parents, you're free is summer vacation, isn't it? Otherwise, you know, you have to get up at 8 o'clock, no, 7 o'clock, and then you know, go to school. After school, you go to this class, that class, and then homework. And then at about 10 or 11 o'clock, you would be put to sleep. And so there's no more freedom. So as I was thinking about this, this title, I'm free, I was thinking about when I was a teenager. So at that time, I was in Hong Kong, and I lived more or less the same life that high school students or middle school students or elementary school students that we had. I had a definite schedule to keep, but once the school days is over, I would be free. So I was allowed to sleep in. I was allowed to do something, you know, to skip something that otherwise I would not be allowed. But the problem was, my father was an early bird, and he always got up early in the morning, and he could not stand us, you know, sleeping in. So constantly he opened my door and checked whether we were up. But then I praise the Lord that I had a great mom. And she said, "Oh, let them sleep for a while. Let him stay in." So even though my father was not happy, he would not do anything, because my mother was shielding me off from my father. And then during lunchtime, usually during lunchtime, in school hours, in school days, I did not have to do a thing. When lunch is ready, my mom would call in, "Hey, Fong, come in. We had lunch." And then I would just go in, just went in and have lunch. And then during the summer vacation, and I thought the same. So I stay in until about lunchtime. And then my dad opened the door and said, "Fong, come up and help, you know, get up and help to lay the table and get ready for lunch." Rarely it happened, but from time to time, you know, I talked back. I said, "Dad, I'm free. It is my freedom." So my dad was not happy. And then my mom said, "Oh, Dad, let him sleep for a while. We'll get him to come to lunch when he's ready." So I could play my thing, do my thing. But then, you know, suddenly I realized that the time was too long. The table should have laid. And why didn't my mom come in and ask me out for lunch? And then, so I peek out, and I realized that lunch was already over. My dad decided that, okay, you want your freedom? Okay, get all the freedom you want. And then I was so unhappy. I said, Mom, why didn't you call me when lunch is ready? My dad said, you like to enjoy your freedom? Go enjoy your freedom. But make sure that you have the responsibility of freedom. If you do want to enjoy anything, you need to pay for the price. Then I start to get it. Freedom. We need to think about responsibility. Enjoyment. We need to think about the price. So in today's passage, Paul seemingly was saying that you were called to be free. Okay, we were called to be free. Now then the first question I had in mind was, who called us to be free? And then the second question that I had from this passage was, what are we freed from? Now, many of us have been Christians. You know, I don't know how many of you among today have not been a Christian. Aren't you free? Right? Not being a Christian still have freedom. Why did Paul say you are called to be free? As if you were not free prior to being called by God. So Paul would continue to answer this question. Number three, is there a boundary for our freedom? And finally, how should we live out this freedom? And Paul would give us all the answers to these four questions. Now, Paul, a Galatian, I believe Galatians is the first book that has written by Paul. And he wrote this book to a region. The region had at least one church or multiple churches. So happened, I believe, that that had multiple churches. And he wrote this book to that region. And then the reason of writing this book was because there were a group of Judaizers, meaning the people who were Jews and who want to keep the Ten Commandments, the Mosaic Law. They went into the churches in this area and then to teach people that not only you need to keep, to believe in Jesus Christ, in addition, you need to keep the commandment. Why? Because Paul was saying that, hey, you don't need to keep the Mosaic Law. Now, these Jews were surprised. What? We have already kept the Mosaic Law for thousands of years. Who are you, Paul? Just saying one word and we will get rid of the Mosaic Law? What about our tradition? So that was why there were many Jews rise up against Paul. And so Paul wrote this book, this letter to that region. And asking them, did you receive the Holy Spirit by keeping the law? The answer is no. You did not receive the Holy Spirit by keeping the law. You received the Holy Spirit by believing in Christ. Then Paul continued to ask them, were you justified by keeping the law? The answer is no. In fact, by keeping the law, you put yourself in danger of being cursed by God. Why? Because if you fail one part of the law, you fail the entire law. And that's why you will be judged. And then Paul continued to ask them several questions. And finally, Paul saying that for those who keep the law, for those who taught people to keep the law, meaning the salvation of Jesus Christ is not good enough. You have to put your own law on top of Jesus Christ's salvation in order to make the salvation complete. Now that is serious accusation. And that's why keeping the law is so bad. Keeping the law is going negative, contrary to what faith is. And so Paul put chapter 3 and 4 and to teach the people there, saying that keeping the law is bad for your faith. And from chapter 5 on to the end of this chapter, Paul was saying that how to live out. No, you know, Paul taught that you don't need to keep the law. But then Paul started to tell people how to live in freedom. So today, Paul said, verse 13, brothers, you, my brothers, were called to be free. Who called us to be free? Christ, God. God called us to be free. What did God do that He called us to be free? God loved us so much that He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. And He raised Him up on the third day. Now, many people were thinking, okay, Jesus is God. So He came down with God's power. So there's nothing that Jesus can live that He cannot do. Really? If you turn your, if you remember your script, the scripture saying in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, Christ emptied Himself to become man. What does it mean? That means Christ, shake out all His power and ability so that He became a mere man. If you understand that scripture in such a way, it may be slightly incorrect. That scripture meaning God the Son, Jesus Christ, came down on to earth and He clothed Himself by the human limitation. He clothed Himself by the human limitation, meaning He willfully let go His divine ability. And He willfully put on the human limitation to limit Himself. And He agreed with God the Father. He would not use the power of being God to overcome all the obstacle on earth, to overcome all the obstacle that a human life, human being would face. No, He would not use divine power to overcome those. Rather, He would use put on the limitation of being a person, a man, live through a human living. But He did not sin. He did not sin. What does it mean? He did not have a sinful nature. He does not have a sinful nature. That's why He cannot sin. Just like I do not have wings and I cannot fly. Don't ask me to try flying because I have no wing. I have no wing, I cannot fly. Jesus has no sinful nature, so He cannot sin. And for a righteous person, the one who did not sin and was put to death. So Jesus should not die and He was put to death. Why? Because He lived such a great life that people were jealous against Him. And they put aside the law, put aside the righteousness. They nailed Jesus on the cross. But God would not abandon a righteous person in hell. God raised Jesus from the dead on the third day. And because of Jesus' death, He should not die. He died. That's why He could conduct an exchange. For all of us who should die, and Jesus would give His death to us. So that we can give our death to Jesus, and Jesus can give His life to us. And that's why for us who believe in Jesus, will not die. Now at this point, some of you may be thinking, hey, I'm not dead. Why should I be sad, described as dead? That's one thing that we should understand. God created man in His own image. One of the character of His image was eternal. God created human soul as eternal. So once the soul was created, it would never cease to exist. So what does it mean by life and death? Life meaning relationship. Death meaning lack of relationship. Now I remember my mom was gravely ill with cancer. And on that morning I visited her. She was in pain, but she was quite alert. And then I asked my mom, "Mom, how are you feeling?" And she said, "Not too well." And I said, "Oh, you are doing fine because you look so good this morning." My mom said, "Oh, don't be silly. I know my condition." And so we chit-chat, and then at that point, she had already trusted Christ. And then I was thinking, oh, maybe, you know, seemingly she regained some of her strength. So after that visit, we went home. And then on that night, after midnight, got a phone call from the hospital. And the nurse said, "Mr. Lo, come. The entire family should come because your mom is not doing well." And then my entire family, my father and my, you know, all my siblings, we all rushed to the hospital, and it was a little bit late. My mom passed away. She was dead. But then when I felt her hands, it was still warm. And I distinctly remember my dad held my mom's hand, looked at her. And then I held her another hand. I said, "Mom, talk to me, talk to me." You know, she felt, she still had a warm body, but she was dead. Why? Because we had no more relationship. So to God, once our, you know, we were dead, not because our soul ceased to exist. We were dead because we had no relationship with God. So God called us. God called all the spiritual dead people to Him to build up a relationship to Him. And called us to do what? To be free. You, my brothers, were called to be free. So the second question was, or is non-Christian free? Yeah. Rather, many non-Christians say, "Hey, you Christians are not free." Then we ask why we were not free. And they said, "Because every Sunday morning you have to sit in a place and you have no choice." Didn't we have choice? And we can go dim sum, we can go to do this and do that. Although those, after we became Christian, those dim sum timing-wise, doing this and that, you know, become secondary. We willfully came and sit here, right? But they say you're not free. But from our perspective, we had more freedom. So sometimes I like to ask them a question. I said, "Okay, you think you are free. How about this? If I am a drug addict, you know, addicted with cocaine, and I have plenty of cocaine put in front of me, I can have as much cocaine as I like. Am I free? Yes or no?" Who said yes? "I'm free. I'm free to take as much cocaine that I like." Nobody dared to say you are. Who said that I do not have freedom? I agree. Why? Because I have no freedom. I have no choice. I have to consume the cocaine. Right? Because I'm a cocaine addict. So, Paul was saying, you were called to be free. Freedom from what? Freedom from two things. Previously, before we were Christian, we had no choice. We had no choice but sin against God. All that we think, all that we do, all that we walk, everything, 24 hours, 7 days a week, We were thinking, we were doing things. They all sinned against God. They all offended God. We had no choice. Freedom is you have a choice. I have a choice. So God called us to be free, meaning God called us to give us an alternative. Give us a choice. Previously, we had no choice but to sin against God. But now, we have choice. Either we can sin against God or we can live a life that is glorifying God. That is freedom. God called us to be free. So call us to be free from our own sinful nature. Jesus has no sinful nature, but we do. So that's why we have a new nature. After we were called, we had a new nature. The new nature is we have the freedom. We have the choice to do things that is pleasing God. Just like this morning, many of you have a choice, either go to Chinese school on Sunday morning, or go to dim sum on Sunday morning, or sleep in on Sunday morning, or you have a choice to come here to worship. And that is your choice. Previously, you had no choice because you have no church to go to. Now you have. So God called us to be free from our sin. In addition, God called us free from the law. Now, in a Jewish culture, the law was Mosaic law. But then in chapter 4, Paul was saying the small knowledge of the world. What does it mean by knowledge of the world? Knowledge of the world meaning the rules and the regulations that comes with your culture. Or the rules and regulations that come with your religion, your prior religion. So what does it mean? We Chinese, we do not have any Mosaic law, but we do have our culture. Our culture meaning you have to study. Now, I'm not saying that you are not going to study, okay? How do you evaluate a person? You value a person by how many houses this person has, how many degrees that he has, and how much money, how much stock market, how much stock that he has, how much wealth that he has. A lot of time, all of us have our own rule to ourselves. You know, why do we think that people get upset so easily? Why do you think that there are people who act one way outwardly, but when that person returns home, he acts another way? Why not consistently? Why? Because that person in his mind, there's a law, his own set of law, is making him a bondage, enslaving him. Why? Because he was thinking, okay, if I can reach to this level, I will be good. If I can make that much money, I will be good. If I can behave this way, I can be good. If I can sing songs so well, I will be good. If I have so many Christian jargons in my conversations, I will be good. Not knowing that Jesus has already saved us all. And then once people point out our flaws, we get upset. Why? Because we could not accept that people may even think that I am not good enough. So we are, a lot of time, we are bound, we are enslaved by our own set of law, by our own old set of value. God said, you are called to be free. Free from your own set of value. Because God has given each and everything, each and everything that we have today comes from God. It's not from our ability. A lot of time, people put in a lot of effort and they still be the same. But sometimes people doesn't need to put in any effort and they rise. Why? Because everything comes from God. And now since we are saved from our own set of law, and that's why we are free. We understand that everything is from God. And in that case, we can relax. Many times we Chinese, you know, especially the ABCs, we feel ashamed that about our parents. Why? Because our parents doesn't speak as well, you know, as a fluent English. They came to this society, they work all the time. They are not like their American parents, that they were lenient, they were able, but our parents just, you know, worked 24 hours a day just to make ends meet. And that's why quite a few first generations Chinese here, they were ashamed of our parents. Remember, our parents are given to you by God. That's nothing to ashamed of. God used our parents to train our characters. So that from now on, you have to remember, nothing need to be ashamed of. God used all this to train our characters. So God, we are called to be free. Free from what? Free from our own sins and free from the law. Our own set of law. And then the third question, is there a boundary or limitation in living out this freedom? Before I answer this question, let me ask you a question. Do you think the relationship among brothers and sisters in the Galatian churches was good? Relationship between brothers and sisters, they had unity? Or how do you think the relationship among the churches or brothers and sisters? Let me answer this question by reading verse 15. Verse 15 gives us a hint. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So do you think that they have good relationship among brothers and sisters? I don't think so. If they had unity, if they have love, if they enjoy the presence of each other, would Paul say, if you keep on biting, oh, they don't bite each other. You know, this is only an illustration. If they had good relationship, Paul would not say that if you keep on biting and devouring. So it's clearly said that the relationship among brothers and sisters in that region was not good. Well, we can imagine that. There were at least two groups of people. One group of people, they thought that salvation of Jesus Christ was or is sufficient. And the other group of Christians there, they thought that, oh, the salvation of Jesus Christ may not be sufficient because you still need to keep the Mosaic law. And as a result, these two groups of Christians, they did not live well with each other. And as a result, they would bite each other, not really physically biting, but they would attack each other. They would talk bad or bad-mouthing each other. And Paul said, watch out. If you continue to do this, you know, you will destroy each other. Actually, who would be the happiest camper? When he sees the church, you know, brothers and sisters, they bite each other and devouring each other. Who would be the most happy camper? Satan, yes. He doesn't need to do a thing to destroy this church. No one in that church will bring glory to God. And that's the purpose. And that's why Paul pointed out, do not do that. Why did they do that? Let's go back to verse 13. The second part of verse 13. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Now, my Bible is NIV. My Bible is NIV. If you have any NAS or any other translation, sometimes the translation will be flash. What it should read was, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. What does it mean by flesh? What does it mean by indulging? Very interesting. Flesh in Paul's writing. Now, flesh has two meanings. First of all, physical flesh, you know, something that you pinch yourself, you will ouch, that's flesh. But in Paul's writing, flesh is rarely, really, you pinch yourself, you ouch. Flesh is the place, the locale, the area, the realm where the sinful nature resides. So after you've trusted Christ, you have a new nature. But, you know, right now we have dual nature, one old nature and one new nature. So Paul said, do not use the freedom to indulge your flesh. Now, the word indulge actually it means opportunity. What does it mean by do not use your freedom as an opportunity to sin against for flesh? What does it mean by that? Do you remember or do you know Normandy? Normandy, France. If you don't know, you need to go back to World War II. Normandy, France was the turning point for Second World War. What happened? During the Second World War, June 6, 1944, the Allied countries, they put together 506,000 strong soldiers to storm into the Normandy beach against 50,000 of Nazi Germany soldiers. Nazi Germany soldiers, they have strong military firepower to aim at those beach. So in Normandy, that was the turning point. The Allied stormed that and established the logistic base at the beachhead. The word opportunity, meaning the base for operation. So once they established the base for operation, the Allied pushed the army into the heart of Europe, and ultimately they destroyed Nazi Germany. So Paul was saying, do not let your flesh as the base of operation for the sinful nature to take over yourself. What's sinful nature? Sinful nature, when they talk about the biting and devouring of the Galatian church, that would be arrogance. You know, if I think that you are better than me, would I bite you? No, I would respect you. All the time I think I'm better than you, that's why I'm biting you. All the time I'm thinking that I'm smarter. And that's why there was argument. And if I loved you, I would not bite you. I would do the best for the one that I love. So the limit of living out the freedom is do not let it to become an opportunity to express, to sin against God. But rather, Paul said, verse 13, 14. Serve one another in love. And the entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, Paul is being ironic here. On the one hand, he said, do not be enslaved by the law. Now he said, enslave yourself. What's the difference? The difference is, do not be enslaved, but you willfully enslave yourself to others. Enslave yourself to others. Number two, Paul was saying, do not need to do any law. But now Paul is saying that if you love one another, you fulfill the law. What does it mean? meaning the law is not keeping it as a law. Keeping the law as a Torah, the pointer. Pointer to have a peaceful living with God. And how do we apply the law? How do we apply the love in our life? You know, I see a lot of brothers and sisters, they really enjoy the company of one another, especially in the Bay Area. We grow some fruit, vegetable in our garden, and we share. That is love. That's great. Being a pastor, I am the receiving end of many of this love. But then, think about this. When you have two or three brothers gathered together, what are you talking about? Sometimes you talk about not so good things, right? During those situations, how do you love the one being talked about? How do you behave when two or three brothers talk about the fourth brother's, how bad he is or how bad she is? You know, if you contribute how bad this person from a normal person will become an evil person. By loving the one being talked against, you need to inject something else. You need to love him. When people sin against you, offend you, how do you exercise your love? Forgive and move on and restore the relationship. That's love. You know, rarely should I talk about ball team, sport teams. But why San Francisco 49ers seemingly they lost seven, they played seven games, they lost them all. Painful, isn't it? I heard one retired coach said, this team, all team members, they exercise their freedom. Why? Because they, you know, team members, all players should have only one goal in mind, win the ball game. But they had freedom. Freedom to exercise their political viewpoint. So when the national anthem was played, some of them would do this, some of them would kneel. And they lost the teamwork. In a professional ball game, if you lose the teamwork, you will never win the ball game. And that's why this retired coach said that they all played their freedom at the detriment of the team. And brothers and sisters, we all have freedom. We can either exercise this freedom so that Satan may fold their hand and look at us with a smile, or we can lift out this freedom in love so that God will fold their hand and smile at us. God will not fold their hands. God will embrace us and smile at us. It's your choice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We praise you because now, through Paul's teaching, we learn how to live out our freedom. Father, we pray that you will help us to love one another and slave in love to one another so that we will build up our unity and so that we may continue to proclaim the gospel until the second coming of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.